A reading from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here am I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go out in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Close to the end of his prophecy, Isaiah prayed to the Lord, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. As we noted last week, this longing for the Lord's coming is not shared by everyone. Those who are content with life as it is, whose hopes and dreams are tied to this life and the things of this world, either would prefer he not come, or at the very least, that he would wait a while. There are also plenty of people who dread that day, who, if they pray that it would never come. They're sure that meeting the Lord for them would mean disaster, punishment for their sin, and eternal suffering. So how is it that Isaiah, how is it that you and I can pray, O Savior, rend the heavens wide, come down with mighty stride? The context for Isaiah involved the captivity of Israel in Babylon and the promises the Lord had made to those who mourned in lowly exile. First, the Lord calls out to the ruins of Jerusalem and to Mount Zion, where the temple had stood. They are to wake up, to rouse themselves, for the time of their abandonment is about to end. The uncircumcised and the unclean, that is, the heathen nations who had conquered the city, were about to be expelled. The desecration by those who had no regard for the Lord was coming to an end. Jerusalem and Zion would again be consecrated, set apart as holy to the Lord. Next, the Lord spoke to his people in exile, the captive daughter of Zion, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, mourning in sackcloth and ashes in Babylon. The time of their redemption was at hand. Israel had gone to Egypt in a time of famine and had been received as guests. After their hosts became their slave masters, the Lord had forced Pharaoh to let them go. Without cause or reason, Assyria had oppressed God's people. But the Lord had punished Assyria. By the time that Isaiah was writing, that nation was no more. How, though they might, and despise the name of the Lord, Babylon and her rulers would experience the same fate as Pharaoh and the Assyrians. Once again, God's people would know his name, the Lord, Yahweh, the I Am, who revealed his name to Moses at the burning bush. In that day, that is, when the Lord acted, when the Lord again came to his people, then they would know the Lord who delivered them, who would say to them, "Here am I." Next, the prophet fast forwards, prophesying about that day, the day that the Lord would lead his people into Jerusalem and would reign over them in Zion. He pictures the watchmen up on Jerusalem's towers, calling out to one another, rejoicing as they see the vanguard of the returning exiles. Their approach, their return, shows that God is reigning, that the Lord is exercising his power to deliver and to save. And so the call goes out. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. With this prophecy of the Lord rolling up his sleeves, coming to rescue his people from captivity and sorrow and mourning, delivering them into glorious Jerusalem. It's no wonder that Isaiah would pray, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." This prayer rests on the Lord's promises to comfort his people, to rescue them from that dark dungeon of Babylon, to bring them from uncleanness and impurity into his holy presence, to wipe away the tears from their eyes, and to bless them to live under him in his kingdom and rejoice in his presence in perfect righteousness and innocence and blessedness. As it was for Isaiah, so also for us. Slavery in Egypt, oppression by Assyria, exile in Babylon. Each of these is paralleled in our struggles against the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. We too are attacked and pressed hard by forces that have no use for God, The powers of sin, Satan, and death threaten to overwhelm us. We cannot free ourselves from their power. We struggle against them, to be sure, but are too often overcome. We sin, we repent, we struggle, and we sin again. St. Paul captured the wretchedness of our existence well. "I have the desire to do what is right," he wrote, "but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." The question is clear. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Because try though I might, I can't deliver myself. The answer, of course, is Jesus. Jesus, who redeemed us without money, as Isaiah wrote. It wasn't with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. As the Lord led his people out of slavery in Egypt, as he brought them back from exile in Babylon, so when he comes again, he will deliver all who have trusted in him from this valley of sorrow to the glory and eternal joy of the heavenly Jerusalem. He has loved you with an everlasting love and has freed you from your sins by his blood. In his death on the cross, he accomplished your salvation once and for all. "It is finished," he declared. But you and I don't yet live completely in this victory. We still feebly struggle. And so with the saints of old, we join in the prayer. O fount of hope, how long? How long? When will you come with comfort strong? O come, your throne forego. Console us in our veil of woe. O morning star, O radiant sun, when will our hearts behold your dawn? O sun, arise. Without your light we grope in gloom and dark of night. O Savior, rend the heavens wide. Come down with mighty stride. Unlock the gates, the doors break down. Unbar the way to heaven's crown. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.